The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me and does not keep my words, and the word that you hear, is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, the other day when I was reading for my Wednesday evening class that I teach here at CLC, I found that my legs were really antsy. I just couldn't sit still at my desk. Something about my muscles ached a little in a way that said, "Leslie, we need to move." So I began to move. I got up out of my desk chair and I started doing knee lifts and squats, but even that wasn't enough. And so I went out into the hallway and I walked up and down the hallway until I finished my reading. And that seemed to be it. That was the ticket. I moved back and forth and back and forth, and it was fabulous. And I thought, why haven't I done this before? Restlessness seems to be part of the human condition. Most of us love adventures, love traveling to some place new, seeing the sights. We appreciate the beauty of an exotic locale and the uniqueness of a vista we have never seen before. Something new and different excites us, fills us with wonder, and ignites our passion for the many blessings of life. The restlessness of our wandering selves finds relief in adventure. And most of us love movement too, whether dance or walking, cycling or running, football or soccer, moving along, gliding along, guiding our bodies through the air, or moving to propel the ball in just the right direction with just the right momentum. The restlessness of our bodies finds relief in movement. And most of us love exploring ideas too, whether reading a good book for the first time or learning about one of God's magnificent creatures or discovering precisely how it is that a robot works. We are instilled with a desire to gain knowledge and to grow in our understanding. And the restlessness of our minds finds relief in learning. Well, not too long ago, I came across the story of Henry Worsley, and it fascinated me while also haunting me. Attempting to be the first person to cross Antarctica on foot, unassisted, and unsupported, he crossed more than 900 miles before he was forced by exhaustion and ill health to call for help 30 miles from his journey's intended end. 30 miles from his goal. He had drug his sled those 900 miles across Antarctica, carrying all of the supplies he would need for this journey, to fall 30 miles short. And in his message sent by satellite phone asking for a rescue, Worsley had the following to say. He said, when my hero Ernest Shackleton stood 97 miles from the South Pole on the morning of January 9th, 1909, he said he'd shot his bolt, which is a common phrase for being just completely exhausted. Well, today I have to inform you with some sadness that I too have shot my bolt. My journey is at an end. I have run out of time, physical endurance, and a simple sheer inability to slide one ski in front of the other to travel the distance required to reach my goal. Worsley's fascination with Antarctica was lifelong. He had made two previous journeys on the continent, including one in commemoration of Shackleton's voyage a century earlier, a journey to the South Pole on foot that for Shackleton had ended 97 miles short, but for Worsley ended at the intended destination this time. And the success of this adventure fueled his desire to cross the entire continent unassisted. Then two other adventurers had had goals similar to Worsley's. A Norwegian explorer, Borge Ausland, crossed Antarctica alone and unsupported in the 90s, but he had used a kite to pull his sled. And in 2012, a British woman, Felicity Aston, skied alone across Antarctica. But she had had two supply drops along the way, which made her sled quite a bit lighter. Sadly, Worsley's attempt to cross unassisted did not only end in an incomplete mission, but it also resulted in his death. After being flown to Chile for critical care, he succumbed to peritonitis, an internal infection usually caused by some sort of rupture or perforation. An emergency surgery failed to save him. And so I've been wondering since I learned about his story, and as I was thinking about it more this week as we talk about restlessness, was Worsley's adventure pure hubris? Did he suffer from excessive pride and self-confidence? Was he seeking something larger in his life that he felt was missing? Did he have to prove that he could do this to himself or to everyone else? These and other questions have haunted me as I've considered Worsley's self-inflicted adventure this week. As adventurous as some of us may be, and many of us have just returned from wonderful trips this week, so there are quite a few adventurers here at Christ Lutheran. Yet I am guessing that few of us have gathered here today have taken a journey like Worsley's. But that doesn't change the fact that each and every last one of us is still an adventurer, a wanderer of some sort. Some of us venture forth with gusto, while others of us take on more humble goals. And some of you may be thinking, oh dear me, no, I am not an adventurer. I always eat the same thing off the menu at each restaurant I go to. And I get so much motion sickness that I really don't travel well. And to be honest, Pastor Leslie, I would just really prefer to stay home where things are comfortable and cozy. And yet I would say to you that I still disagree, because the greatest journey that you will take in this world began the day that you were born. And the truth is that that journey is far riskier and full of peril than any crossing of the continent of Antarctica. On that journey, you will face a myriad of obstacles. You will try to jump from a swing and you will break your ankle. You will attempt to win the school spelling bee and become dumbfounded by nervousness, forgetting how to spell the word sponge in the initial rounds. You will fall in love with your teenage crush only to experience the scathing pain of your first heartbreak. And then you will graduate on to even bigger obstacles. You will pick a college major for which there are few jobs available upon graduation. You will fall in love, this time believing it's true love, and get married, only to find yourself divorced years later, shattered that something you were so sure of ended up not working. Your career will finally take off, only to stall. And these, dear friends, as we all know, are the easy perils. We will also face those enduring obstacles, those hurts that never go away. The severe and chronic illness of one we hold close to our heart. The agony of watching our children suffer. And of course, that ultimate loss, the finality of the death of a loved one, whether brother or sister, mother or father, daughter or son, best friend. It's at these points along this epic journey that we are all undertaking that we become very aware of our finiteness, of our limitations. It's at these points that we feel a very real sense of spiritual restlessness. Why did God create us to wander this perilous journey? Why do we feel so alone? How do we find the way back, the way toward home and safety? We wonder why we have to wander at all. We wonder where Jesus is. And our tendency at this point is to hunker down, to lock all the doors and to barricade the windows. And in truth, it's a metaphor, right? Because we are hunkering down in our souls, barricading our hearts, locking up our vulnerabilities. We are too afraid to venture out and to dare to move forward. We think we can protect ourselves from the bad things in life if we simply opt out. If our ankle gets sprained, stop running. If our heart gets hurt, quit dating. If we mess up the school spelling bee, for heaven's sake, don't try it again next year and end up looking ridiculous again. It's what we do as humans. We recoil and retreat, and we are no different from Jesus' disciples in this, who also did the very same thing 2,000 years ago. In today's reading from John, Jesus is leaving the disciples. He's getting ready to go, and they are not too happy about this. They are wondering how they are going to make it through this epic journey of life and discipleship without their leader, without this man. And unlike Worsley, they have no hubris. They do not want to make this journey unassisted. Their hearts are troubled and afraid, our reading says. They need Jesus with them. But sadly, Jesus tells them that he must go. He must leave them. He must return to the Father. And so they will have to continue the journey without being able to talk to him directly, without being able to see him face to face, just as you and I have journeyed as disciples our entire lives. But Jesus also gives them the single most valuable gift he possibly could have for their journey. He says to them these words, "But the advocate, as in an advocate for you, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all that I have said to you, every last word." And then he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Jesus wants us to wander. He wants us to engage life fully, to risk things for the sake of love, to reach out to the stranger, to go the extra mile, to fight cruel consensus, to be brave and bold disciples. But in our wandering, Jesus has promised that we are always bound to him, forever linked by the Holy Spirit, which is the very presence of God with us. We must remember wherever we go then that Jesus is there too. So while the rest of life goes by, full of ups and downs, joys and struggles, challenges and comforts, as restless as the rest of the world and our lives may be, our hearts are always home in Him. The peace of God comes in the midst of the chaos of real life and in the vulnerability of true love, our greatest and most messy endeavor. Amen.